Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. And they will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrows and sighing will flee away. Yes and amen, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you come into this place today? Would you come into our hearts, our lives in such a way to bring transformation, to bring life, to bring joy. We thank you that you are here with us. Jesus, you are worthy of our worship. We sing out hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for there is no one like you. And Lord, we ask that not one of us would leave this place today the same as we entered in, but that as a result of your nearness, as a result of your word that would speak to us today, and the move of your spirit, that we would leave here changed, different than when we came in, and that you would receive glory and honor as a result. Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and head back to your seats. My name is Travis, the lead pastor here at Antioch. So thankful that you are here with us today to worship the worthy one. We're changing things up a little bit today. If you haven't already noticed, we're going to do our normal time of giving and some announcements of things going on in the church at the end of the service today. And really, the whole message time is going to be a little bit different. It's one of those Sundays where it's kind of like a family business Sunday. Actually, in times past, I'll bring out a stool. It just makes me feel like, okay, we're sitting down. We're all kind of in the living room and got a few things to chat about. I didn't get the stool. I thought I might get a little too excited about a few things and I'd be up and down too much, but it's that kind of Sunday where there's a few things we want to share. There's some testimonies. There's some sending out. There's some opportunities to get involved, and so the message will really be mixed in with those kinds of things, and so we hope that it feels just like that, whether you've been here a long time or whether you're new, that this would feel like family for you today. And I read out of Isaiah 35. That's where I want to begin our time together, is just in this beautiful passage of scripture, one that's quite significant for us as a church, because God, the way God used it to lead us here when we came out as a church planting team. And I realized about 15 minutes before the first service that actually today, this week, would mark the 14th anniversary of the church. So it's kind of a church birthday here. So not even knowing it, I picked a perfect passage of scripture to celebrate that with, because it really was kind of the key passage that God gave us. And of course, it would be, as it's talking about a desert, right? A parched land. And so in the natural, and God leading us here to believe for spiritual life. And it's been a privilege to get to partner with God and see that over these years. But it begins with that picture of transformation, of a desert land, a desolate land, a barren land, becoming fruitful, turning into this beautiful landscape, so much so that it's like rejoicing. It's rejoicing in the presence of God, that God is here. And so everything that was lifeless or dry is now blossoming and coming into a place of flourishing and thriving. It's becoming transformed into a fertile, a beautiful landscape. And this is a picture for us of spiritual renewal. It's this beautiful picture where we can close our eyes and we can picture the dramatic reversal of desolation and barrenness into a fertile soil and a beautiful landscape. And in the same way, God's wanting to use that imagery to symbolize a spiritual renewal that comes with joy and hope in the presence of God. Where there was once, you know, desert and this and that, now there is pools that are forming. There is life in his presence. The parched ground is no longer speaking to the power of God to come and to change, to bring spiritual life to us. And so that's our prayer. It's that we would be a people that are revived in God. We would experience that revival in his presence. And this is imagery to describe that. But it doesn't stop just with this idea of spiritual renewal. It also talks about physical renewal, physical healing. In fact, it says that there will be the opening of blind eyes, the unstopping of deaf ears, the leaping of the lame, and the singing of the mute tongue. So this is no, like, these are no small things. These are miraculous signs and wonders. It's not like the headache feeling better even. It's like, no, these are people that could not see that now see because of God. They couldn't hear, but their ears have been open. They couldn't walk, but now they're leaping. They couldn't speak. They're not only mumbling out some words, they're singing songs. This is, we're speaking of the presence of God, the healing of God that we obviously see manifested in Jesus, who is God with us, and we see it in his life and ministry, that everywhere he went, people were being touched by the kingdom of God, prayed over and healed. And so we see this physical healing happening in the life of Jesus and in the kingdom of God. And I want to give a little testimony to that, okay? So just this week, I have been incredibly encouraged. There's been a couple of women that we have been walking with for quite a number of months, struggling with life and death illness. And I got a couple of reports this week. I'll first tell you about a woman that had surgery back in the early spring. One of them had surgery to repair an aortic aneurysm. And so very serious surgery, very serious condition. It was combined with infections. They were kind of an unknown infections, very life-threatening infections that she had in her body that the doctors hadn't seen. They're trying to have to figure out. And in the at that time, the diagnosis was very grim. I was looking back at some texts, and what had happened was that the aorta was pressing up against her esophagus, so she couldn't eat. She was getting all nutrition through an IV. It was causing a great deal of pain. The doctor's prognosis was very grim. She said the surgeon feels certain that the aneurysm will burst within days, weeks, maybe months, and this was now months ago. And this week, we got a report from her that she had done a CT scan, and she is completely healed. That there is no further risk of the aneurysm bursting. She actually sent out a video. Probably some of you saw it, and she is ear to ear grinning, saying, "God has healed me. He's healed me." She can go back. She's been released to go back to normal life, so she can eat again. She hasn't been able to lay flat for the last 4 or 5 months, so she can lay flat again. They're still taking antibiotics for the possible infections, but those are gone and no longer threatening her life. And so we are celebrating the miraculous healing of God over our sister's life. And so it was chilling. I mean, this has been months and months. I asked her if I could share, and I texted her this morning and said, "Hey, is it okay if I share?" And she said yes with 4 exclamation points. And then it was impossible, they said. "Only God!" exclamation point. Yes, please share. And so she's just walking in the impossible right now because of the miracle working God that we serve. Another woman that over the past just a few months, 2 or 3 months, it's been a little longer than that now. But anyway, she got diagnosed back in late spring with pancreatic cancer. If you know much about cancer, it's one of the worst, most aggressive forms of cancer that a person can have, and often leads to death. So it was a real life and death situation for her. One of the things that made it especially challenging was not only what was she facing such a daunting diagnosis and journey ahead of her, but her mother, her twin sister, and her daughter-in-law have all died of cancer. And in each of those situations, she was the primary caregiver walking them through each of those situations where they're believing for healing, they're believing for the miraculous, and they didn't see it. And so now here she is trying to do the same thing, but having walked through these different scenarios that, as you might imagine, make it incredibly difficult to believe, to just hold on, like, God, you are a healer, right? You do heal. It is your heart, right? And because we have that mystery of knowing that God can heal, that he does heal, but sometimes we don't see the healing when we want to see it, or how we want to see it, or in the time frame we want to see it. And so there's this struggle, and I've just so ministered to through the journey of this dear woman in our church, of her battle for faith. And we had opportunities to pray for her and to war with her. And she had gone through chemo this summer, and it hadn't gotten the cancer. And so she went in for surgery this week. And it's a very risky surgery in many ways. But she reported to us that Monday evening of the surgery that they were able to remove every bit of the cancer, and they didn't have to remove her pancreas to do it. And so it was the better than the best case scenario. And so she is now, at the time, cancer free. And it feels miraculous. It feels like God is just breathing fresh life. And so we praise God for who he is, for doing the impossible, for doing what wasn't thought could be done. And I wanted to share those so that we as a family can just rejoice that God is moving, that he is not a God who is distant, unremoved, and doesn't care, but he comes close, he draws near, and he heals. As it talks about in Isaiah 35, it's speaking literally of miraculous healing, and And as we read the scripture, I know that it can be easy, and we can have the tendency at times to interpret scripture through our own experience, what we've seen or haven't seen. And maybe even inadvertently, then that causes us to fully believe or not fully believe different things that we see in the Word of God. And it's a challenge for us day by day to not cause our experience or lack of experiences to dictate what the Bible says, but allow the Bible and the truth that we find in it as a foundation for our lives to interpret what we experience in life, and not the other way around. And so this is just an opportunity to say, yet it let what we're experiencing is matching up as we believe God as a healing God. And so we see that not only does this passage of scripture speak to spiritual renewal and transformation, but it speaks to physical transformation and healing and renewal. And it doesn't stop there, but it goes on and speaks about emotional healing and restoration. It speaks specifically to the weak, fearful, and anxious. So those that are dealing with anxiety, that have that fear swirling around, that feel that crippling of depression, or the different things in life that would cause us to get knocked off our path, right? That just that get us down. It speaks to these things. It says our God is a God who comes against those things, the things that would cause fear and anxiety. He wants to come in and speak to those things. In fact, it describes it as God coming against those things like a God of vengeance, because we believe that God wants us to be free, that there is freedom that God wants to lead us into. And it speaks to this pathway that God invites us onto. He calls it a highway of holiness, a place, a pathway for the redeemed to walk. And on that pathway, it describes that there is no ferocious beast that will attack. Now, in the New Testament, the devil is called a roaring lion. It kind of gives this imagery of a roaring lion prowling about seeking what he might devour, that he's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's referred to as the father of lies. And so you think about this beast of lying and manipulation out to devour. And guys, I'm inviting you into a place where that lying spirit, where those anxious thoughts, where you can escape those things. I'm providing a place for you. And there's an invitation, I believe, from the Lord would invite us to walk with him in that journey. Because and I'm going to share with us more about it here in just a minute, but we believe that God is inviting us into a season where we're going to be introducing a series where we're going to be addressing some of those things. Some of those things in life that get us off of that pathway. It's called storms and shipwrecks, you know, things that we maybe weren't expecting to happen in life and yet happen to all of us in life. But before I fully introduce the series, I want to share the conclusion of the Isaiah 35 passage, because as we get on that road, receive the invitation of the Lord to step onto this, the road of the redeemed. What he does is he invites us to walk with him into a place where it says that gladness and joy overtake you. That sounds pretty nice. Like because often we feel about we're overwhelmed with other things in life. We don't usually say, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of gladness and joy that I have, right? But that's kind of we're reversing some things here, because usually we're overwhelmed with the stress and the bills and the relational thing that's happening and whatever else. But he's saying, no, as you start to walk in this place, you're going to be overcome by gladness and joy. And the sorrow, the sighing, the heaviness, that's going to begin fleeing away. I love how it's another passage in Isaiah 55:12, how it puts it. It kind of takes some of this natural desert landscape, the natural rejoicing along with us walking with God, and kind of puts them together. It says this: you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And so we have this picture, this kind of those the joy of the redeemed, those walking on this road. And he's saying, I'm sending you out in joy, and I'm leading you forth in peace. And as you go, everything around you, that desolate desert landscape, it's gonna be rejoicing. You know, it's gonna be coming into life. The fields and the trees are gonna be clapping their hands. Life is going to come up from the life that you've been given. And so I believe that God wants to do something in us that is a deep work that causes us to be stable in the midst of storms, to know that he's with us when we feel like our life is a shipwreck, right? And I want us to know his nearness in those places, that he might lead us through it, that we would receive the invitation to be sent out as one who's been changed in his presence. And I wanna invite John Keane, come on up here, John, and give him a hand as he comes up here. And this is, again, just maybe a little bit of a, come on over this way, just a little bit of a testimony for us, if you will, because we had the opportunity this morning to send John out. John has been a part of this church for a number of years. His mom and dad have been a part of this church, have been involved in missions agencies here in our city, and John himself has had a call to the nations that he's had for a number of years, and we've gotten to have great conversations about just that, the passion that God has given him for taking the message of the gospel. As I said, he grew up around that and in that, and so his mom and dad have a heart, maybe moving there themselves at some point soon. And yet today we get the chance. We've had the church as a church just had the opportunity to fan that into flame, what he's grown up in, and today we get to send him out to Jordan, where he's going to be working with a like-hearted missions agency to work with refugees, serving, teaching people from all over that region of the world that are refugees there. And so we're delighted to get to send him as one who is, just as we're reading, as saying, man, God has put life in me. There's something that he's done. There's a place of transformation. I'm now, we get to send him out in peace and joy to see what God does in a barren land. And so we want to just pray over him today as he goes to serve, to love, and as he believes for the gospel to have great impact and make great transformation in the nation of Jordan among refugees from different areas in the Middle East. So would you pray with him, with me? So God, we are so thankful for John. We're so thankful for the things that you've spoken to him, the assignment that you've given him, the calling that has been coming up in his life for years and years. And we thank you, God, for the yes, that he has said yes to you. And Lord, we pray that you would take that yes, that you would take the loaves and fishes of his life, and that you would multiply it for your kingdom. That as the river and the stream of God that has so flowed and given him life, Lord, let it flow from him to the nation of Jordan and to the peoples of the Middle East. Lord, I pray that there would be great fruit in his own life from these steps of obedience, and there would be great fruit in the ministry that you're giving him. Would you cover him and protect him? Would you make a way for him? And would you bless the work of his hand? We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, buddy. Well, I just want to give a closing thought on this passage in Isaiah 35, just a way for us to understand it, because I do believe that it was a word for us as a church planting team that helped to get us here, to guide us to this direction. But I also believe that it is a word over our church, that it wasn't just kind of like, oh, I'm using this to get you somewhere, but actually I'm speaking this over a people. I'm speaking this over a land. I'm speaking this over as something that I long to do in this place. And when we read Isaiah 35, we come face to face with the concept of already not yet. It's this little phrase that theologians will often use to describe what is the messianic age. That's the time between the first coming of Christ that we read about in the Gospels and the second coming of Christ that he spoke about and that we continue to read about in places like the book of Revelation. And it's this messianic age where Jesus came and he brought the kingdom of God. He ushered in the kingdom of God and he taught us to pray things like that: let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we see it through the miracles and signs and wonders that we've already been reading about, that we testified to this morning. And so we see God's kingdom come. And so it's already here. And yet there's this paradoxical already, but not yet, because we still feel the tension in the world around us where there is still sickness. And at times we don't see healing. And there still is emotional trauma. And God brings freedom, but there sometimes is a struggle that's ongoing. And so we believe in the present kingdom and presence of God to heal, to deliver, to bring restoration. And yet we also wrestle with the tension that causes us to long for heaven, knowing that there's a fullness to come. There's a fullness of healing when the sorrow and sighing flees away, where we're overtaken with joy and gladness. And so we live in that kind of tension where we believe and we're asking for the kingdom of God to come. And by faith, we're praying healing over people emotionally and physically. We're believing for restoration in marriages and spiritual renewal. And yet we know that the perfect has not yet come. That there's still a longing for us to see him face to face and to dwell in that place that he has prepared for us. And so that's the place that we live in. And while we're there, we're believing for the transformation of men and women's lives, for joy and goodness to be released, for healing physically and emotionally. And it's in that vein that God has led us to do this series, where we feel as though there's something very real that God wants to speak to because of the way we all experience storms in life that are unexpected, and even shipwrecks, where we feel like, how did I get here and how do I ever leave here? I feel like there's no way out. And I want to share with you what we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks. We're going to be hitting these kind of topics: anxiety and depression, failure, crisis of faith, relational strife, disappointment, loss, and grief. These are bigger, overarching storms that we face in life. Hopefully nobody is facing all of those right now in life. That would be a little bit overwhelming, but you can certainly resonate with having gone through one of these, having being going through one now, a couple now, and there is none of us that will not go through some of these storms in life, where we feel like we can't see, we don't know how to get through it, or a shipwreck position where it feels like we can't move on. Everything that we had to move us forward is no longer at our disposal and we're stuck. And so we really feel as though God wants to address these things and use the gospel as an antidote to these ailing struggles in our life. And as we go through this series, I do want to let you know a couple of things, because we recognize that the seriousness, the largeness at times of these different feelings and places of trauma that we experience are not going to be solved in one Sunday service. And like, okay, you're all better now. Like, brush off the knee and like, it's all better. We recognize that. And so we want to take time on a Sunday morning to say biblically, this is what we see biblically and how God would want to speak to you, to bring encouragement to you, to reveal a pathway of freedom to you, to begin a journey in you. At times, God might want to say, I'm healing you right now. And he does that. And often we see him inviting us on a journey of healing. And so we're also going to be providing resource pages that would point you towards material that would be helpful to continue on that journey. A resource page on different places of Christian counseling in the area that we can refer you to. We've got a ministry here at the church. It's called Listening Prayer that we make available to those that are wanting to just say, God, how are you wanting to speak into this place where I feel stuck, that can help to be a launching pad in the direction that God has you. We're going to be having a Freedom Day here a little later on in the fall, which is something that maybe you've done with us before, but it's a day that we take to just go through some of these different things and ask God to bring healing as we take time to forgive, to allow God to speak, to repent, to just walk through, kind of just, God, clean me out. Like, Lord, help me get on a firm place of, a firm footing to move forward in places of healing. And so we know that there's those types of things that will be needed as we move forward, and we want to try to make those resources available for you, because we really are believing for healing, that God would set us on pathways of healing that our lives might reflect Isaiah 35. That yes, there was desert land. It was barren. It was desolate. I didn't know how to move forward, but God met me, and he began this journey in me, and I can testify to the life that he's bringing. And that's the story that I believe God wants to write in our lives. Excuse me. In addition to those resources and different opportunities to have times of healing, I also want to make sure that you know biblically how important community is. Not doing this alone. Not doing this as like, oh yeah, I go to a church and it's kind of like I'm in and out on a Sunday morning, but I'm not involved in the life of the community. The Lord has given us the church to be a family, a community, a group of people to walk with and do life with, so that we're not isolated, so that we're not having to do things on our own. It's one of the beautiful things about the two women I just mentioned, that they're fully in the community. They were just surrounded by people praying and supporting and helping in their journey. And that's the picture of the church, not only in a physically desperate spot, but emotionally or spiritually where you're feeling it. And so next week, over the next 2 weeks, really will be what we have every fall. It's our life group fair. Our life groups are just small group communities that are throughout the city in people's homes or apartments, dorm rooms, and where we try to do life together, where it's not just like, hi, how are you doing? Good. And like, okay, see you next week. But it's where you get to know people, where you have the opportunity to be known. And you get to share a little bit of life, like you know their name, and they know your names, they know your kids' names, and vice, you know, that's often the first call when there's a struggle or when there's a hospitalization, and it's doing life together in that way. To both, at times you'll be the encourager, the one that has the faith or the strength, and other times you'll be the one being encouraged and needing the faith and needing the strength. But that's the church, and so I really want to encourage you, and you can, it's all online as well, the opportunities to get involved in life group. But at times we like saying like, hey, we're all out here, a bunch of life group leaders, if you're interested, that you can jump in and be a part of that. So that's going to be happening after both services next week. And I would encourage you to just pray about, as a family or as individual, just is can I make that a priority in my life to do church with the family? And then here's the last thing before I turn the page to just close this up. Last practical thing. And I think this is important. This series will rightfully take us to kind of some deep, at times and some moments, very serious places where God's wanting to do some very serious work in us, and really believing for breakthrough in our inner world where God could lead us into these places of flourishing. So there's going to be a lot of like inward thinking and looking and God speaking into it. And yet I also believe that while that's important, it is important in that journey to be a people that look outward, that we don't get so inward focused that it gets unhealthy in and of itself. And so about the time we were looking at doing this series back at the very beginning of the summer, I got a call from a guy who runs the Haven in Portugal. The Haven is a ministry of Antioch that is there to love, support, and provide counsel and rest for missionaries on the field that are in particular need of that. And so we actually, here in our midst, Scott and Jenny Robinson were actually, our young adult pastor, were the founders of the Haven Portugal, that have since turned that over and are now here with us, and we're so thankful for that. But I actually asked him to come and just give us a 90-second snapshot of the heart behind the Haven Portugal. So come on up here and share that with us, Scott.
We good? Okay. Is that working? No.
Maybe not.
Hello. Okay, there we go. Hi, guys. Okay, so this is our heartbeat, as Travis was saying, you could see on the screen. In 2006, God called my family and I and a few other folks to go to Germany first with this dream of what the Haven would become. And it was just this idea that would you restore, heal, and set free missionaries and pastors on the field? Okay, I don't know if anyone knew this. Missionaries aren't super Christians. Anyone know that? Like, they're like you and I, the storms and the shipwrecks we go through. Now, take it on the field, and the amount of stress and the amount of difficulty is exponentially more than what we ever experienced for most missionaries. So God called our family to Germany first, and God started bringing people. They relocated the Haven to Portugal in 2009, and God said, Antioch is your family, but you're called to serve the body of Christ. And so we opened a couple houses. God provided amazing ways, and people started to come from all over the world. So generally, annually, people come from about 25 different countries to Portugal to be cared for and healed and loved on by the Haven staff. And there are usually about 20 different organizations that come. And what happens, and what our dream has always been, is God, would you bring people and would you renew their call? Would you help their marriages get better? Would you help their families get better? Would you help the singles get more established and feel the kindness of God in their lives so that the call of God is more clear and the power of God goes along with it? And I was talking to the director the other day, and he said that just their internal stats, that he said typically people that come to the Haven, about 75% of those people are either overtly saying, I'm leaving because this is really hard, or internally they're wondering if they should just give up on the call. 75% of the people that come. And it's a lot of people that come and go through the Haven every year. And he said after they visit and after God does a deep work in their lives, they keep track of the people and they kind of stay connected. And over the long haul, about 90% of those 75%, so vast majority actually say, wait, actually, God's called me here and I have what it takes to be established until his glory comes in these nations. Mm-hmm. So the Haven is reaching those people that are unreachable in a sense. They're out there and they need care. And God has given us an opportunity to do that.
Amen. Amen. So I felt like just, you know, as we're in a series and we're going through the storms and shipwrecks of life, some of these difficult seasons that we walk through, some of these difficult lifelong seasons that people can walk through, that this place is a place where missionaries, these things coming up on the field and some of this kind of pressure cooker where they can go and get care, get counsel. And so I just thought, man, what a great way for us to pair with our series and our own journey of health that we could get outside of ourselves and believe for what's going on there. So one of the things that's happening here is that they have been in a struggle for the last number of years, and there is, it's a longer story, but the property they had was taken from them, and they had to find a new property. And so in that journey, they were put in touch with Campus Crusade, who's got some land over there and some property, much of which they're not using anymore. And so Campus Crusade has given us a 30-year lease on a few buildings there. This is a picture from those buildings overlooking so it's a beautiful area, a great place for a rest and a retreat. And so they're having to refurbish these. They're out of date. They need a lot of love. Actually, we had a team this summer of guys that went over to help build and work on that. And so it's in a continual restoration process. Looking at having another team that goes to help them out with physical labor, and they're also of course raising funds for that. And so when he called, I just said we would love to get behind. I don't know what we'll be able to do, but we would love to get behind that vision. And so would love for all of us to pray and say, God, in what way would you have us to give and be a part of that? And at this, and while I ask all of us to, I also believe that there are maybe a small handful that will. I just kept feeling that there's a few of us in the church that God's given a heart for missionaries and caring for them and wanting to see them sustained on the field for the long haul, that would really want to give and be a part of seeing this become a reality. And so if that is you, or you want to find out more information, of course this QR code will take you to the place to give. There's also a table out in the lobby. We'll have that there the next couple of weeks, where you can also give as well, because we want to dive in deep inwardly all that God has for us, but we also want to keep thinking about others and how we might be a blessing even in the midst of our own trial. And so let me just close by sharing how this came about. Acts 27 was where we went through a 14-week series on the book of Acts. The last couple of chapters, Garrett Kidd, our youth pastor, did a great job sharing a message about the storms and shipwrecks. Well, like I said, about halfway through, a little earlier through the series, knowing this message was coming up, we felt like God said, and there's more that I have there. Because I believe there's something important about not only like, okay, the book of Acts, and we're a witness in the world, and we're going to go, and we're going to share the gospel, and we help to resource you this summer, and hopefully give you vision and encouragement to do that, but what do we do when the storms and shipwrecks hit? How do we keep living that life? And that's actually what we see Paul doing there in Acts 27 and 28, that as he was kind of in the final stages of his ministry and life, he was traveling to Rome, ended up making it there, continued to preach the gospel under house arrest, but on the way, they hit a massive storm, and in the midst of it, God was speaking to Paul. He was giving him faith and confidence. He was telling him, "Hey, I've got things that I've got for you. You're not going to die. This is not the end for you or the crew." And so he carried this peace. He literally was led forth in peace in the midst of a storm. He heard God speaking to him, and he was able to give that encouragement away to others. The storm actually did shipwreck them. And even on this island where they were shipwrecked, he as a prisoner, where they considered killing all the prisoners before they shipwrecked so they couldn't get away and all that, and ended up not. I mean, it's very tumultuous, right? And then he's there, and he gets bit by a venomous snake. The people of the island are waiting for him to die. He doesn't die, and they're like, "Oh my goodness." And he's like, "It's God." And then he prays for the island leader's father, who gets healed. And then all these other people come and they get healed. So in the midst of the storm, the ongoing storm, in the midst of a literal shipwreck, being stuck on an island, there is something in God that Paul has tapped into that allows him to hear the voice of God, to be led forth in peace, and to give away what God's doing in him in the midst of it. While those around him were doing other things, there's three things. They were trying to escape in the lifeboats. So I'm abandoning ship, right? And we see Christians hitting storms and ship, and they're like, I'm out of here. I'm abandoning ship. And Paul said, please don't abandon ship. I can't guarantee your safety. God said that everybody on the ship is going to make it. I can't guarantee your safety. And so they cut the ropes and okay, we're not going to abandon ship. And the other things they were doing were they were throwing things overboard, just jettisoning whatever they could to get rid of it and like just kind of scrambling for, okay, got to get rid of this or got to fix this. And for me was like all the things that when we get in this situation and we get stressed and we just start doing things or grasping for things or throwing things out or adding this or what do we do? Like scrambling around. It's just a picture of lack of peace. And the third thing that they did, and it's my favorite, is that they got ropes and they looped it around the boat to hold the boat together. Now, I know that all these things are things that they had at their disposal that they were able to do at this point in time, that trying to be as helpful as they could. But that one makes me laugh. I mean, honestly, like you're in the storm of a lifetime and you're hoping that this rope wrapped to hold the boards of the ship together and like tie a really good knot, you know, and that this rope is gonna hold it all together. It's not gonna work. Like it's only maybe gonna work for a moment, and yet it was a picture for me of what we try to do. Like you're just gonna hold it together. Like you hold that side, I'll hold this side, or like we gotta tie a knot. Oh, it keeps coming out. Like I don't know how to tie a knot. Like and we're holding it together. Oh no, the shiplap it's falling off. Like tighter, hold on. And you're getting banged here and there, and it's futile. And it kept reminding me of that text that I got back where she was like, they said it was impossible. Like the circumstance was impossible. The storm was too great. I'd been in it too long. I'd been shipwrecked with no unseen, no way forward, but God. But God, and that's what we see in the life of Paul, who said, God, you got to speak to me. Jesus, what are you doing? And he came and he brought peace and he spoke purpose in the midst of the storm. And it's not easy. We see at times where Jesus prayed and the storm was gone, right? It's like, oh, storm's gone. It's not what happened here. The storm continued raging on. He just said, you're going to be okay. I'm going to be with you in the storm. I'm going to be with you on the island. You can have peace. Enjoy. He's inviting us in. He's making a way for us to come. And so, Lord, today we just want to receive that invitation because there is no better invitation. And we're about to sing this song, and there's a line in it that's like, does anybody want forgiveness? Does anybody want value? Does anybody want, you know, just keep adding to it? Does anybody want healing? Does anybody want restoration? Does anybody want life? Well, it's found in Jesus. It's found in the blood of Jesus. And that reference to the blood is this reference to Jesus giving up his life, blood being his life source. And he poured out his blood so that we could experience life. And so this invitation is to life. It may still be clouded. You may not feel a lot. You may feel numb. But I believe that he's inviting you. He's asking you to take a step. Whatever that step might be, and it's going to look different for every single person, but he is inviting you into life. Jesus said, I have come to give life and life to the full. And so today we're identifying, in these next few weeks, we're going to be addressing larger issues that speak to the not abundant life. And Jesus came to make a way for us to experience life abundantly. And so right now, I want to invite you to stand with me. And I'm going to invite our ministry team to come forward to the front. This is just a group of men and women who said, hey, we'll pray. We'd love to pray for people. And so if you've got anything that you need prayer for today, we would love to pray for you. It may feel like it's something that's big or small, but we believe that God answers prayer. We believe that God loves to get into your boat and he gives us others to get into that boat with us. And we'd love to pray for you over those things today. And specifically, if any of you are just saying, I want to take that step. You know, as we begin into this journey of dealing with some heavier things and seeing how the gospel provides an antidote to those things, I just want to invite you to come forward, to take that step. And you can come down here to the front and just get on your knees and say, God, here I am. Would you lead me? Would you lead me? And so as we sing this song about this, the blood of Jesus that has provided a way for us and life for us, let's just sing it out in worship in response. Let's come forward and get on our knees, taking steps of faith to trust God. Let's get prayer saying, I need that abundant life. I want it. And I'm not living it. If that's you, please don't hesitate to respond. In whatever way that God leads us, let's each one of us respond to him today.